Tuesday.
Can I ask you, I know this is a sad question.
Oh, God.
This is a sad question. I just heard Eric Rung in the news tell the story about this woman who was attending, an older woman who was attending a game.
Oh, I know.
A Dodgers game, and she's hit by a foul ball, and she died. Right?
No one ever expects that to happen. Oh, my God.
What are the odds of that? But here's my question, and it a warning to you and anyone listening. It is a sad question. If you were the player who hit that ball, even though you know, I mean, that player was, I don't know who the player was. I don't know if it was a Dodger or whoever the Dodgers were playing, but you're certainly the last thing in the world you want to do is hit a fan with a foul ball. You're not thinking about that. You want to hit a home run. But wouldn't you feel kind of bad? Wouldn't you feel awful? I'd feel terrible.
Yes.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Because some action that you did indirectly caused this woman to die. It wasn't your goal or your intent, but the end result is a woman has died. I would just feel awful.
Wow, that's hard to recover from.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up. I'm sure we know who did it or can figure it out.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. They know. I mean, now in the account that I read of this story earlier today, I looked for that, but I don't know what I would have done with that information. But yeah, of course they know who did it. But you can't blame that person. But there'd be so much self blame if it was me and I took that swing. It would haunt me forever.
That might be a career ending thing.
Oh. One day when my mom was driving my brother and I and a friend to school, this kid, my mom was doing everything right. And this kid was on a bike and got hit. He hit our car.
So, yeah, he swerved into your car.
Yeah.
God.
And the kid, I mean, you know, the bike went down, the kid went down, my mom got out of the car, she was panicking, and, you know, I'm thinking, I wasn't driving yet, but I'm thinking, that's exactly what I would do, is I would panic. A kid on a bike is down. And I kept thinking later, what if that kid had died? It wasn't my mom's fault at all, but as the driver, you would accept, there'd be some level of blame.
Of course, and you have to learn to live with it.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, accidents happen.
Right.
My question is, hadn't they talked about netting being put up?
They put it in
Has it been put up?
Yeah.
So this was just prior to that?
I think it was probably after. You can't put netting everywhere. That's impossible. I mean, I take that back. It's possible, but it's improbable. There's some places in a ballpark that don't see a lot of foul balls. Why would you put netting
right
up?
And there's nowhere to connect. I mean, it just seems weird that you do the whole field.
But they added netting at Wrigley, and I think at White Sox Park, too. They've added more. They did last season.
Like down beyond third base and first base a little bit, or no?
No, I think it kind of stops.
Just around the infield?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is such an unfortunate thing.
Awful.
I guess this woman was a big Dodgers fan. She regularly attended games.
If you're her family, can you ever go back to another Dodgers game? Or every time you went, would you go, oh, there? It happened right there, right over there.
It happened in the top of the ninth inning when the Padres' Franmil Reyes fouled a ball to the first base side of home plate off Dodgers pitcher Kenley Jansen. The ball flew over the protective netting and hit Goldblum. 79-year-old Linda Goldblum. Her daughter, Jaina Brody, told the ESPN that ushers came down asking if she was all right. When Goldblum said no, EMTs came and took her to the hospital. She threw up in the ambulance. She died a few days later after her family took her off machines.
Oh, my God.
Dodgers made no public comment when she died, but released a statement saying, Mr. and Mrs. Goldblum were great Dodgers fans who regularly attended games. We were deeply saddened by this tragic accident and the passing of Mrs. Goldblum. The matter has been resolved between the Dodgers and the Goldblum family. We cannot comment further on this matter.
Boy, what amount of money makes that right? You know, obviously there was some compensation, but I can't even think of a dollar amount.
I can't either. And you hear these things like, you know, millions of dollars. Like,
right.
What? I mean,
no,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, the money just doesn't matter. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm the family, if I ever go to another Dodgers game, it would just be too hard. If I'm the player that you just mentioned, the guy on the Padres, even the pitcher in some way.
Yeah.
Jansen's the closer for the Dodgers, and he throws like 100 miles an hour.
Kenley Jansen. Good.
But even if you're him, you're going like, oh, man. All I
had I not thrown that ball, it wouldn't have hit her.
A little to the left, a little to the right, a little slower.
The daughter says Goldblum's death came after the league announced last February that all 30 MLB stadiums have netting extended to the far end of each team's dugout. That decision came after a young fan was hospitalized after she was hit by a foul ball at Yankee Stadium.
And something happened in Chicago a couple years ago, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember the specifics of it, but it made everybody at Wrigley go,
right.
we got to do something.
I remember that. Not specifically, but I do remember.
Yeah.
Brody said she hopes to see more protective netting going forward. I'd love to see the netting extended vertically, and we know it doesn't block the view. Raise it a little higher. So that's kind of weird. It went over the protective netting.
On two different occasions last year at Wrigley, I was sitting behind the netting, and for the first half an inning, you really notice it, and then you just kind of forget about it. Because it's big enough to where you can still see all the action, but it still kind of distracts you a little bit.
It didn't take you that long.
Because
the scout seats at Guaranteed Rate,
Park, yeah.
You do see there's netting there in the scout seats right behind the plate.
Right.
And, like, honestly, for a half a second, you're like, oh, wow. Oh, cool. I'm glad that's there. And then you look beyond it, and you never look back.
It took me a little while both times, but then you just totally forget about it.
And, I mean, wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry?
I would be.
And in this day and age when there's a little lull in the action, so many people are on their phones
you're not paying attention at all. Right.
And, I mean, it could easily happen.
I know. I'm trying to remember if that entered in. I can't remember the specifics of the story at Wrigley, not last season, but the season before where somebody got hit. But I remember somebody making a big deal of... People are so distracted now, they're not focused on the game the way they used to be, that you have to do something. But when the game is on, it has kind of my full attention. You know, in between innings and stuff, I'm talking to people and stuff, but when the game is on, I know everybody's different, but I
get bored sometimes. I have to go get a funnel cake.
No. Well, you're safe there.
Yeah.
It's the safest part of any ballpark is the funnel cake stand.
And I wear a Bears helmet when I go to the Sox game.
You should always wear...
Bears helmet.
They tell you, you know, wear two helmets.
This was, I'm trying to look for a date here, August 23rd, 2015.
Oh, that long ago?
During the Cubs-Braves series finale, Cubs outfielder Kyle Schwarber's foul ball in the first inning struck a fan sitting just behind the camera on the first baseline. Is this the one, or was there
I
one
think
more
there was
recently?
One after, I think.
They left on a stretcher.
A stretcher? That's a German stretcher. Quick, get me some strudel. I've been hit with a baseball. Get on the stretcher.
Yeah, like you don't ever misspeak.
I do all the time.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon addressed the incident after the Cubs beat the Braves. He was asked if there was any way baseball could protect fans in this kind of situations. Awful, he said, pay attention. I hate to say it. Those are wonderful seats. Probably pay a lot of money for them. You're digging the fact that you're right there. I watch and I see people turning their back to the field when the action's going on. You just can't do it.
All right,
That's it, Maddon. Blame the fan.
I agree with him to some extent. You should definitely pay attention. But also, there are some things that are so out of your control when a baseball that's being thrown 100 miles an hour is hit by a bat and you're that close, you could pay all the attention in the world. If that ball is aimed at your head, it's going to hit your head. There's nothing you can do.
Right. And he went on to say, when you're at the ballpark, in those particular locations, watch what's going on. Don't turn your head away from the action. Every time a ball is pitched, you look. You look and see. Then you can go talk.
Right.
I'm sorry. You do what you want at a game. You should pay attention. And if you're not looking, maybe your person you're with should be paying attention.
Right.
But, I mean, come on.
Well, how would he then account for, you see this in baseball games a couple times a year, a guy in the on-deck circle will get hit by a ball or a coach or somebody in the dugout. The ball will be hit like a line drive into the dugout and you see them all scatter.
Yep.
Some guy gets hit. Now, you know they're paying attention. They're getting paid to play.
Are they? Sometimes they're doing wacky stuff, and they might have their back to the game.
Yeah, maybe.
Madden went on to say, if you happen to be in that area and you see a left-handed pull hitter up like a Schwarber, honestly, just really watch what's going on.
Right.
That's your best form of protection. It happens. It's awful. But I don't know if there's any particular right answer now. Just watch what's going on the field. I know, but
he's
come
right,
on.
Right, but by the same token, I'm sure this lady was watching the game, and then the ball just hits her in the head. How about the fact that she was conscious? She left, and they're talking to her and
that's
stuff.
Terrible.
And then she just died. Oh, God.
Acute that's, intracranial hemorrhage.
That's inner bleeding, right?
And bleeding
brain
in
bleeding.
The brain. Yeah,
ugh.
And history of blunt force trauma.
Ah.
That is so sad.
Right. Right.
And, Bill, if you're sitting there and the netting's there, you almost feel like you're protected. You're not thinking it's going to go over the netting.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess. I would just sit there and go, boy, we missed the netting by one row. What if a ball came and struck me? Ugh.
Accidents happen. Like your mom hitting the kid on the bike. Was he okay, by the way?
Yeah, he was fine, but it really shook her. The bike was not great, but it really shook her.
Did she buy him a new bike?
No, she just kept apologizing and apologizing, and then, you know, traffic is building up behind us and everything
scary.
Like that. And she, I mean, honestly, she was waiting to take a left-hand turn. She was stopped with the directional on, and the kid just flew out and hit her and everything. And I wasn't driving yet, but that taught me a valuable lesson that even when your car is not in motion, anything can happen at any time. You know,
I was always
very conscious of that. Anyway, the reason I bring this up, it's Hank Aaron's birthday. So happy birthday, Hank Aaron.
I'm sure it would have been happy had he been around.
85th birthday. Hank Aaron is 85 years old.
He's still with us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
God bless him.
I still remember the guy he hit the record-breaking home run off of, Al Dowling. And I still remember the guy who caught his home run. That's number 715. Tom House. Who looked a lot like John Denver.
You're an interesting character. You know that?
I don't know when that information will ever come in handy.
But it'll never leave your brain.
But it's locked in my head forever. And whenever I pull out an important stat like that with my wife, she very wonderfully says, who cares? Who cares? And she's right.
I think that sometimes when Jim tells me some Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
But I never say who cares. She does not say that.
Who cares?
She doesn't.
She does. She does. And I know she's going to say it, and I still share these little facts with her to make her life more enjoyable, of course.
Can I tell you that's exactly why you need the Twitter?
Nah.
Yes, because...
But then I'd have people tweeting back to me, who cares? With my wife, I love her. With the Twitterverse, I would just go, oh, people I don't even know are just telling me who cares.
No, they would comment on it.
But it would be stuff like,
no.
Who cares?
No one's going to...
There'd be an emoji of an owl saying, who, and then the word cares. I know how it works.
No, not something just like
it'd be
that.
A picture of Doctor Who in the TARDIS, and then cares underneath it. Doctor Who cares.
you should really be on Twitter because
no.
I imagine it would be very fun to have you come up with emojis just to.
That's my next business venture, Wendy.
Oh, really?
Emoji factory at Woodfield Mall. People come in, they tell me their needs. I go, I'll have something for you by Thursday. I drop some emojis for them. Look, it's a mummy eating a chalupa. Why? Why is that? I don't know. Try it. See
mummies
what
got good taste.
Mummies, yeah, they love spicy food.
The mummy should actually get a wrap.
That would. Oh, see. Do you want a part-time job at the Emoji Factory in Woodfield Mall?
Kind of.
I can get you in there. Leave me a resume.
All right.
And see what I can put together for you. All right. When we return, you'll get some news, and then after the news, we will go through the rest of the things you do in restaurants, and you think you're being helpful, you think you're being a good person, but the restaurant staff hates you.
Can't wait.
Yep, that's coming up. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, things that we do at restaurants that the wait staff kind of wishes we wouldn't. We'll continue that.
I have to ask Kim a question.
They hate me.
Were you listening to the rest of them?
I didn't.
Because they're all things that we do, and we go, this is a good thing, but the restaurant staff not happy.
Know that. Oh, you're that kind of person?
A little bit.
You are too, Bill.
I am so this person.
I am so not.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I have to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
There was, I was watching TV the other day with the sound down. And
that's how most people watch it, by the way.
Yeah, you don't want to hear what they have to say. Sometimes I turn the picture off, too. I just stare at the blank screen. It's more fun that way. There's this movie coming out with Jennifer Connelly in it. And I just looked up. I didn't know it was a movie ad. I didn't know anything. And I thought it was you for a second.
Really?
Yes. So you know who Jennifer Connelly
is,
right?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
Is she my doppelganger?
Yes and no.
She's gorgeous.
She's very pretty.
Oh, wow.
She looks a lot more like you than she looks like me or Wendy put together, actually. But for a second, like when you first saw it, you could see, like, the hair is the same, the eyes are the same. There's a lot of similarities.
I think she's probably a lot younger than me.
I don't know how old you are, but I think you guys are pretty close in age.
I'm 53.
She's 48.
So I think she's trying to steal your thunder. That's what I'm trying to say. You should have her stopped.
She better watch her back.
Yes. Solid advice.
What would we know her from? Because I know her as I'm looking at her.
She's been in so many movies. I don't know if there's one particular, though, that jumps out.
Ooh, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Hmm.
Inventing the Abbots. Yeah, the Rocketeer.
Rocketeer, right?
She was in Duran Duran, Union of the State. A snake. She was an underground cult member and is uncredited. She is the Courtney Cox of...
Yeah, of Duran Duran.
Yeah.
What was the movie with Don Johnson? Was it The Hot Spot?
Yeah.
Do you ever see that movie?
The Hot Spot.
She's in that.
Labyrinth.
Oh, what's the one with Russell Crowe where he's...
Rocketeer?
It's the Ron Howard movie. No, where he's a genius, but he's got...
Yeah. Requiem for a Dream. Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind.
Oh, that
was such a good movie.
She's the lead in that.
Yeah.
She does look like you. Mulholland Falls.
Oh, yeah, with Nick Nolte.
Inventing the Abbots.
She's been in a lot of stuff. She's married to Paul Bettany, who looks just like your husband, by the way. Isn't that weird? I don't know why that
Who's that?
How crazy is that?
Paul Bettany is Vision in the Marvel movies.
Oh. She was in Spider-Man The Homecoming voice, Only the Brave.
I'll come look at her once we're done with news.
She is in Top Gun Maverick, which is filming now.
Oh, really?
Oh, the new one.
Yeah.
They didn't go with Kelly McGillis.
She's too old now.
Is that true?
I bet.
Oh, maybe. But Tom Cruise is too old, too.
Yeah, but...
But he's Tom Cruise, so you give him the benefit.
Jennifer Connelly does look like him, Gordon.
Yeah. Just for the record,
right,
just so you know.
I'm coming over to look at it in just a second.
Thanks, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of quick texts. First of all, I misspoke.
You were wrong.
Yeah, I said Al Dowling. It's Al Downing who threw Hank Aaron's 715th home run pitch.
Who cares?
But Tom House, did my wife text that in?
Yes.
She did. Tom House did catch it, and he does look a lot like John Denver. John Denver was not in attendance of that game. I checked the stats. This is a fun trivia. Jennifer Connelly is the new voice of Iron Man's suit computer. If you watch the Iron Man movies, his suit has the ability to talk. She is the new voice of the suit. She replaces Paul Bettany, who's her real life husband.
Oh.
So that's strange.
I'm sure that causes some marital strife.
Yeah, I bet.
And also a fan was hit by metal debris falling from the scoreboard, but somehow the guy had a nacho bucket on his head or something.
That was a different story, but that just happened last season, right?
Yeah.
That was at the Cubs game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It shows that, you know, anything can happen at any time. You're never really safe, are you?
It's anything can happen day.
Anything can happen day here on the Mouseketeer Club. All right. Earlier, during the regular part of the show, we were talking about things you do in restaurants that you think are positive. Like, Kim, the perfect example is I do this all the time. When there's empty plates, I kind of stack them up a little bit. Not a huge stack, but two or three or four of them. And then I go, when the server comes by, it'll be easy. Just hand them the stack.
Right.
They say you shouldn't do it. It upsets the apple cart there in the kitchen.
Because you're doing their job and they don't like it?
No, and I think this was explained later. You know, at my house for Thanksgiving, Jim cleans the table. And when other people offer to help, they stack them on top of each other, and then there's food, food, food. And some listener called and said, if you would scrape all the plates and then stack them, that would That's be fine. Funny. But oh, they're, you
but
know.
I hate when people scrape at the table.
Well, yeah.
I can't stand that.
I don't, I mean, I do it in the kitchen, and I right. they would do it too. I mean, Bill, people would be right. like, come on, I'm eating, don't scrape.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just tougher to clean if there's food on both sides of the plate.
But I do take off like all the silverware and stuff.
Oh,
I take that off and
good.
Then I put that on the top plate.
Do you, you should put a layer of napkins in between.
Layer of
them.
Napkins, just to be safe.
Get some bubble wrap.
Yep.
I know.
I bring boxes. I pack them away in the boxes.
I do that sometimes. It just depends where it is.
Right.
Can we digress about for a second with restaurant talk?
Yeah, sure.
So last night, my husband and I were at a restaurant, and a young, kind waiter spilled olive oil on my husband's winter coat.
Oh, no.
A good amount. And so the restaurant...
As he was pouring it in your little bowl on the table?
No, as he was clearing away the dishes.
Oh.
This is
oh.
So he was clearing away the dishes, and so... We went up to the bar to get some club soda, and they were mortified and were very upset and took his coat and said they were going to have it cleaned and he's going to pick it up in a couple days.
Yeah.
So he went home without a coat.
He went home without a coat.
All right, that's weird,
so they have his coat, but now I said to my husband on the way home, I'm like, gosh, I hope we didn't, like, that young kid didn't lose his
get
job.
Get fired?
Yeah.
I don't think so. How could you? I mean, I know they felt bad because you're a customer,
right.
but it could have been anybody.
Right. And he thought maybe we weren't going to have to pay for our dinner after that, too, but they did charge us
for
our dinner.
Yeah. All right. See, I would have
so
given
you
the
think?
Free dinner.
I know. That's what we kind of thought.
So normally in a situation like that, what I think happens is they say to you, the customer, get the coat cleaned, and we'll take care
of it. Yeah, bring the bill, because they wouldn't send you home without a coat.
They took
it was cold.
Strange
in the
well,
winter.
It was... The car was, they only have valets there, so we literally walked out the door and he got in his car.
Oh,
so
I still wouldn't want to leave my coat there. I would say, I'll handle it.
We go there a good amount, so, I mean.
Yeah, so they know you.
They kind of know us.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, they know you go all the time. That's why they didn't comp your dinner. Because they know you'll
still
be back.
Yeah. I would be shocked if they fired this kid. They probably talked to him and just said, hey, be more careful.
Yeah,
it's going to cost us $50
really
to get it cleaned.
If he lost his job.
Well, if you go there a lot, see if he's there again.
We will.
And
would
let
you
us know.
Ask for him again, or would you go, not the...
Well, he was kind of the busboy.
Not Mr. Bean. Oh.
So he wasn't a waiter. He was a busboy. He was just clearing dishes. That's why.
How apologetic was he?
He kind of never showed back up. So
really?
I think he was
Stayed
embarrassed.
In the kitchen.
So
yeah.
As it happened, though, did he go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry?
No. He didn't say anything.
Oh, that's not
and
right.
And we saw the oil because we... We're actually, it was so cute. We were sitting on the same
side of a booth.
Of a booth because we were watching a basketball game.
Yeah.
And so we had our coats on the other side of the booth.
Yeah.
So when he picked up the plate, Stuart said, I think some of the oil fell on our coats. And he got up to look, and then, his coat got the brunt of it. Mine, fortunately,
yours
did not.
Well, good, because yours is the goose down one.
So, yeah.
Wow. No, I think the restaurant...
But I think he kind of knew and was embarrassed to come back.
Oh, sure.
And was worried to come back.
I would be, too.
Unless they just sent him out the back door and said, you're fired.
You're done.
Then I'd kind of feel really bad.
Wow.
But, all right, so I still don't understand. So your husband said, you know, I think you might have dripped some oil, and then...
No, he didn't say it to the kid.
Oh,
We walked up to the bar, because we tried to get it off with water, and we could see it wasn't, and I said...
It's oil,
get some club soda, maybe it'll help it not the stain to set in. So when he walked up to the bar and said, do you have club soda? I've got oil on my jacket.
Yeah.
He then explained to the people at the bar what happened. They brought the owner over, and then that's when they took his coat, and so we're going to get it dry cleaned.
Was it the owner's decision to take the coat or somebody else? Yeah.
Yes, it was the owner's decision.
I think that's the right thing.
I would have comped their dinner.
Would have been nice.
Yeah.
That
would have
been
nice.
Plus.
But...
Yeah. Just so that there's no ill feelings
exactly.
afterwards.
Although it didn't happen during dinner, it happened after.
Right.
So I would have comped. You know what? Honestly, I think that was okay. And plus, your regulars, I would have just said, you know, hey, can we get you a complimentary dessert or
something.
A cocktail?
Right.
That they should have
or
at least done that.
Or next time you come, let us, you know, give you an appetizer or whatever.
With no oil in it.
Yeah,
right.
No, oil free.
That way, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, right? That's unfortunate.
That's awful.
Yeah, I hope it comes out. I think it will. Because we got it, you know.
Let's say it doesn't.
Is it a wool coat? That's a pretty expensive puffy coat.
If it doesn't come out, would you press them to get them a replacement coat? You would have to, right?
Well, I mean, we'll see what they say.
I mean,
it would be, if it doesn't come out, it's going to be.
Maybe that's why they're doing it, because if it doesn't come out, then they'll
see the cost on
They'll see the size, the brand, and they'll replace it.
Yep. All right, these are things MSN tells you. Don't do these in a restaurant. You think it's good, but it's not. I don't know who does this. Orders from another server?
Oh, I've done that.
Have you?
If yours is too slow or something?
Well, it's like, you know, we've been waiting for a Diet Coke. Can you get us one? And
wouldn't you say, have you seen...
I guess you don't want to go out to dinner with me.
Have you seen Audrey?
Yeah.
Of course you know your wait staff's name.
I just assume it's Audrey. Wherever I go.
Not slow.
No. But I've said to other servers, is there any way you could get...
Right.
Whoever it is to come back, we need. But I wouldn't order from somebody else because I know they're busy.
Oh, I would.
Yeah, I would if I was, you know, if you asked for a Diet Coke and you. I'm sorry. I'm a type of person who likes to drink as I'm eating.
Yeah.
One of my sons, Michael, honest to God, it's like, what do you want to drink? He's like, I'm good when I make dinner at home. I don't understand how
he
you
doesn't
can eat.
Drink. Oh, I have to have
I do
at least
too.
Water.
Yeah.
I don't eat and drink at the same time.
You don't do anything most humans do. You know what I mean?
Like, I'll order food and not get a drink, and whoever I'm with will go, when are you going to drink? And I go, when I'm thirsty, later. I don't need it now.
I need it to help wash it down. So I'm with you. If Kim, if I ask for a Diet Coke and it's like you've asked and like 10 minutes go by and you don't see her bringing one, I'd be like, could you just get me a Diet Coke?
Right. Yeah.
All right. They say not to.
Well...
They say, here's what MSN
says.
Stay up
to date with your table.
Your waiter looks swamped, so why not ask somebody else for a dessert or another appetizer, because it can make things super confusing when they're trying to put together your bill. But you can politely ask another server to flag your waiter down. That's what
I wouldn't order anything. I mean, it's just really for a beverage. That would be the only thing. And not even an alcoholic one, because I know they have to go to the bar.
Right.
But if I've asked for water or... of Diet Coke and we didn't see it in 10 minutes, I would just go, hey, could you just grab me a Diet Coke on your way back?
I remember when I was a kid, waiters or waitresses would say, I'm sorry, this isn't my station.
Right.
Or, you know, I'll find your server.
Or say, you know, you need a napkin. You're not going to wait for your waitress. If you see somebody walking by, like, would you mind getting me an extra napkin?
Or say the ketchup
or something like that.
The ketchup is key to...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what? You get a burger or something. I know not everybody likes ketchup on their burger, but get the ketchup on the table before the burger arrives.
Just to be ready.
Yes, in case they need it for the French fries. Because there is nothing... I still tip 20%, but I shouldn't. That should be something that comes down if you...
Take a few percentage points off.
And a lot of places used to have ketchup and mustard sitting on the table, but a lot of places don't anymore.
Right.
You don't need to refrigerate it.
No.
Right. Kim, this one is fresh from yesterday's headlines.
Okay.
Should you or should you not clean up after an accident at your table?
We do.
It says...
Depends what it is.
I mean, especially if there's water or Coke or something dripping down the table, you're not going to sit there and wait.
No, you would put napkins, but say Stuart accidentally bumped a plate of chicken parmesan and it flipped over and went all over. You'd say, excuse me, but I clean up in booth number 7, please.
Yep.
You'd clean that up if a big plate of...
Well, probably
let's
not.
Say the
Unless it was dripping down and getting on people.
So the olive oil was so slippery on him that he just started knocking stuff over at random. he couldn't get any kind of balance once the olive oil was all over him. It says, if you've knocked a glass of wine off the table and you want to minimize the trouble for the staff, while this is understandable, the last thing the staff wants is for you to pick up pieces of glass.
Yeah.
Right. Let them take care of it. It stresses. How about this one? It says here that the staff of the restaurant hates it when you over chat with your hostess or your server. And I get that.
I can't stop myself.
Oh, my dad, whenever I go to dinner with my dad, he is the chattiest.
Very talkative.
Oh, my. Yes.
Yeah.
He loves just chatting it up with anybody who will listen to him.
But isn't there, like, I always feel guilty if there's too much conversation with the waiter or waitress. I'm like, I know we're not their only table.
Right.
I want to take them away. You see other people who need them for stuff. So I try to make it pleasant, but not overdo it, right? Just enough. But then, conversely, I've been in situations where the waiter or waitress is so talkative to us, and we're like, all right,
see ya. Right.
All right, yeah.
I'll still talk to them. I like talking to people that aren't my family, because my family's sick of everything I have to say. Yeah.
They've heard it. All right, so we went out to this restaurant in Highwood a couple months ago with friends, and the owner came over, and he was a nice guy, but when he found out who we were, he started...
Who are you?
Well...
Radio's Bill Left?
He recognized the name, because the reservations were under my last name, so... The person who took the reservation said, I think it might be the guy from the radio. So he goes, I got some stories that you can tell on the radio.
Oh, I love those.
And then he told me some stories that there's no way in the world you could tell on the radio.
Not even on the stream?
Right, right. And then my friend who was there also has some level of renown. So when we introduced them, then he had some stories for him that he could share.
Oh, boy.
And he just wouldn't leave us alone. Even to, like, we waited for our table for about 20 minutes. He was there the whole time. And then once we got seated, he stayed at the table for another 10
and told us more stories. No.
The food at this restaurant was incredible, but we have not been back because we go, the floor show takes a little too long.
Yeah.
Love the food, but the floor show is way too long.
I agree. That's too much.
That's too much, right?
Well, what if you go in, like, in a... You know, in a disguise now.
That's what I would wear, is an old sea captain disguise. Oh, the guy from Moby Dick is here. It says, of course, we want you to be friendly, but if the place is packed, consider keeping the personal questions to a minimum. A genuine smile and a good tip go a long way in making somebody feel appreciated. You don't have to spend too much time talking to them, is their point. It says, in a restaurant, do not order in a language that you don't really know. I wouldn't even try that. Would you?
I'd do it at Italian restaurants.
You have done it, or you would do
it? Yeah, I do it. Like, you know, can I have the bruschetta? And everybody goes, it's bruschetta. I said, no, it's actually bruschetta. CH is a K sound. That's not the waiter saying that to me.
When you say everybody, you mean the people at your table.
Yes, not the wait staff.
Not people at other tables.
And, what else? Yeah, sometimes I just try to say it. Italian's the only thing I do it with.
But have you ever been in, like, a Mexican restaurant or a French restaurant? I've seen this a couple times in French restaurants where somebody tries a little too hard and it's like, come on.
Or you... think you can order, and then they start speaking back to you in the language, and then it's way over your head.
Yeah.
You're
and then you're like, okay, well, can we speak English?
Yeah, right. It says, your server would prefer you to order your meal as it's listed on the menu. If you're at a fancy Italian restaurant, they can certainly help you through the pronunciation of pasta fagioli. However, if you see spaghetti and meatballs on the menu, don't ask your waiter for spaghetti e papette blay. Whatever that is.
Polpetta.
Is that what it is?
Well, polpetta is a meatball.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll have the number 7 is easier.
That's the best.
Or you point to it.
Right. Oh, I've done that in restaurants several times. I want one of these. You mean a number 7? Yeah, number 7 with the puppets on it on the side. I always get the puppets on the side. What is it, polpetta?
I don't know what they have listed, but I've seen that.
Pio, it's E, the letter E, which means and, right, in Italian? And then...
With.
P or with P-O-L-P-E-T-T-E. So polpetta, yeah?
T-T-E?
E-E, yeah, at the end.
Polpetta.
I think that's meatballs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that.
Yeah.
I was right. You did not. You said, does that mean puppets?
Meatball puppets.
Yeah. That would be the best ever. You could act them out and then eat them.
Meatball puppets. How about this one? Not bothering the staff. Now, this is a strange one. It says, if you want some water or coffee or your soup is cold, definitely you should let your server know. Better a polite request than the growing resentment and a small tip. I say this all the time. If something's wrong in a restaurant, I've talked to my wife about this 1,000 times. If I owned a restaurant and something was wrong, I would want to know exactly what was wrong so that I could fix it.
For sure.
So that the customers would come back. But my wife's like, oh, just let it go. You don't have to tell them. It's all right. But I would want to know.
I have this. I went to this place for breakfast. We go there frequently. And I ordered a Denver omelet with cheddar cheese. Mm-hmm. When it arrived, I noticed it was American cheese because you could still see the square.
Oh.
You know, it was melted, but it wasn't cheddar. You could just tell.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to Jim, they messed up the cheese here. And he says, well, tell them. And I said, no, I don't want to wait for another replacement. So when the waitress came up, I said, I just wanted to let you know, I think you've got the wrong cheese in here. And she goes, do you want another one? And I said, no, I want to eat with my family.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to let you know, maybe, you know, they should pay attention in the kitchen.
Right, right,
I was nice. But then Jim says to me, why did you tell her if you didn't give her the chance to fix it? Like, why did I said, because I think that would maybe help for the next person. Because there's nothing
more. Do you
think
they would change it based on what you told them? Do you think they would or not?
I just think it was a mistake.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to let them know it was a mistake,
yeah.
But I it's acceptable, but it's not what I ordered.
Right.
Because there's nothing worse.
Did they take anything off your bill?
No.
Or, see, I think they should fix it.
Like, at that point, I probably would have said, hey, we screwed up that omelet. We took that off your bill.
Right.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, I guess they offered to fix it. But when everyone else gets served the food, and omelets probably take 3 minutes, though.
Yeah,
they're pretty
right.
quick.
Right.
But still, don't you want to eat with everyone at your table?
Yeah.
I didn't Saturday night. I sent something back.
Aren't you scared they're going to spit in it, too? That's another thing. I'm scared sometimes.
I sent something back, and everybody finished their meal, and they were all just sitting there waiting for me.
Oh, no.
I didn't care.
It took that long to fix whatever
was
it
was. Like something that was not cooked correctly, or it was
so
wrong?
It was salty, I could not eat it.
Oh.
It was real. It was so salty, I couldn't eat it.
They're in the kitchen going, Jennifer Connelly complains about everything.
I know, and I'm really, I am picky, but I even had other people at the table taste it, and they said the same thing. I couldn't eat this either.
Really?
It was like a salt block.
A little before Christmas, Terry and I are in a restaurant, and the waitress that we had was awful. She was just horrible. There were several times where it wasn't just our table. You know, she had our whole section, five or six tables. So several times she would be off to the side. There's a station where they do side work and stuff. So she was just standing there talking to one of the busboys or one of the other waiters. And you could see other people like, where is she? She just kept going to the sidebar. So at the end, I said to the hostess, she goes, how was everything? And I go, I got to be honest. We've been here before. Our waitress was not great. She goes, well, what happened? I go, it's forgotten. Don't worry. We'll be back and stuff like that. She goes, no, I really need to know what happened. So I told her what happened, and she gave us a $50 gift card to return to the restaurant.
See,
it was not that was in no way, shape, or form my intention.
But when that happens, you know, appreciate it and give it another shot.
Yeah. And we would have gone back anyway because we've been there a dozen times. It's the only bad experience we ever had. But it showed me that
it's good faith.
They do care.
Yeah.
They want you to come back. Right. And I always say to Terry, I use that as an example. I go, that's the restaurant saying if something goes wrong, you got to tell us something's wrong. We can't fix it if we don't know.
And a lot of times if you stiff the server on the tip, it's not their fault that it's wrong.
It's a lot of times the kitchen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Terry used to wait tables and she goes so many times. You know, we'd give them the order. They'd leave something out, and then you can't bring some of the food and not one of the things, except in your case, Kim, where I guess it's standard for you to eat alone for some reason, even though you're out with friends. All right, so they say, yeah, you should absolutely bother the staff. You're not actually bothering them. You're just telling them you want to make things right.
All right, one more.
Let me see. Let me close on a good one.
Polpetta,
Wendy. It says it is not. There are no puppets in the polpetta. It says. Helping with a tray. When your server comes to the table with a tray full of drinks or food, it
don't
can look like quite a balancing act.
They haven't figured it out.
That I would not do.
Right. Right. Because it screws up the balance.
Yeah.
And then
do not do
everyone's
that.
Got drinks.
Unless they say, could you grab this?
Right.
Or can you help me?
Right. Kim, thanks for hanging out. Greatly appreciated.
What about juggling meatball puppets?
Hold on a second, Wendy. No mention of that.
I like the whole meatball puppet thing.
I thought you were going to translate it as puppet balls.
Oh.
We just got the weirdest text from Howdy Doody. I don't know. How did he do that so fast? Right. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WG.
All right. So that's about all she wrote today, Bill, on this Tuesday.
We're out of time, Wendy. We want to do more. We've got more in us, but...
I don't have much more.
Oh, you're done? Are you running on empty? Checks and browns?
Yes.
All right. Tomorrow, another fun-filled adventure. I think John Gotti's daughter is on with us tomorrow.
I think you are right.
That'll be fun. I'm going to see if I can get a mafia nickname. I've always wanted a mob name. What would it be?
Yeah, ask her that.
What should it be?
Billy the Toy.
That's... That sounds bad. All right, I'll ask if that one's available. If that
I'll
one's
think
open,
of one
I'll,
too.
All right, work on one.
Pulpit.
All right, but yeah, that should be my. That's my made man name right there.
Your made man name?
Yeah.
Who's gonna? You can have a nickname without being a made man.
It's not the same. It's not as
you're
much.
You're a disheveled
fun.
Man.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Ah, they're piling on. All right, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.